You absolutely want him to be proud of you. You know, and just thinking, I've known people who, in their lives, they struggled and struggled and did lots of things just to make their father or their mother proud of them. I can remember a gentleman that was in the military. He had achieved being a captain or a lieutenant colonel. His dad was also in the military and retired from the military. It was at a certain point, all of the striving that he did was just to please his father, because his father had never praised him for anything, had never been proud in his heart. He thought his father was never proud of him. So he continued to work, striving just to get that well done from his dad. So what I'm going to talk about is how much do we try to get well done from the Father? How much do we, are we striving, or what are we doing? And I asked the question about whether we want to be proud, God to be proud of us, because I think of one scripture that's, and most of you probably know what I'm going to talk, what it is. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And verse 8 says, the Lord, well, actually, if we start a little bit above that, and this is where all the, you know, sons of God came before the Lord, and then they presented themselves. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. And Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear the Lord for nothing? Now, a lot of people, I've heard people say this, that I hope my name never be come up before, and God saying, boasting about how great Job is. So I saw a lot of hands that, and a few, I didn't see a few hands that they wanted God to be proud of them, that he could boast about you and say, there is no one on the earth like, put your name there. Still want to be the Lord to be proud of you? Then how do you get to be to that point that the Lord is proud of you? Pardon? Do what he says to do. But we're going to start from just the beginning of how we do that. And in Romans, I mean not Romans, but Hebrews, there's the Hebrews 11:6. And what Hebrews 11:6 tells us is that we first part is that we know that God exists and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seeking the Lord causes you to get to the point where he's proud of you. And many of us think about some of the scriptures where God will give you the desires of your heart. But a lot of times the desires are, I want a new car, I want a new house, I want these other things. But our desire, if we're seeking after him and understand that he rewards those who diligently seek him, most people don't grasp that at all. They're after the things rather than seeking the Lord. And in that desire to be close to him or next to him, we don't quite understand. Many times when we say that, people say, well, I have to, you know, start to pray. I'll spend hours in prayer, and nothing's wrong with that. Or you look at someone who's really close to the Lord, and you look at what they do. Oh, then I need to read my Bible too. I need to do, but you're still not asking and trying to seek a relationship with the Lord. These are things that are a result that comes after you have really established a good relationship with him. It's like you desire to be with him at all times. We talked a little bit about this in home group, but this was bubbling in my spirit way back, back to the men's retreat. But if you think about people that are married, when you first met your spouse, and then you started, I know when I met Gwen, and every day after that, we saw each other. When you go home, you think about them. So I thought about her when I went home. Called her when I wasn't able to come over. How many of us have that same feeling, that same desire towards the Lord? I mean, in Scripture, we look at all of the things that he says about husbands and wives and about his relationship with Israel and his relationship with us. Once we get to the point where he says, you cry out, and this is something that he desires. You don't have to go, you know, wondering whether or not he wants to be close to you. He's just waiting for each of us to just open up, forget about all of your plans, and says, Lord, I want you. I want to be in your presence every day and every moment. But a lot of times we look at that and says, oh, and forget the one thing that he said, that he rewards those who diligently seek him. See, all of we get distracted by the things that come after the relationship. Establish the relationship first. Pursue him with all your heart. You know, it was surprising to me when I read about David and some of the things that he did. But that's another person that God said was after his own heart. If you remember, David was anointed king many years before he ever stepped into the role. And David's heart was towards the Lord. And there's amazing scripture there in Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, 6. And this is after the prophet had come to him. And told him that his child that he had with Bathsheba was going to die. One of the things that was amazing is what the prophet says. You know, I took you, the Lord says, I took you out of, you know, took you and made, gave you Saul's wives, I gave you his houses, I gave you all of these things. And if that was not enough, I would have done more. So you look at that and say, wow. If you read throughout the scriptures, start at Genesis and go all the way through, and you see that God always desires to bless those who love him, who are willing with all of their heart. But most of us think that he's going to deprive us of something. We're not going to have the things that we need. We think we'll end up having to go through something like Job, and maybe you will. But even in the face of that, you know, I look at, you know, Job's experience, and I think of it as Job, even in the face that his sons and his daughters and all of his wealth was gone, he still blessed the Lord. He still knew where everything came from. The challenge that Satan presented was that it's because you are blessing him. I mean, who wouldn't follow someone and all these blessings are on coming to them at all times? He's not going through the things that other people may be experiencing. So when we follow the Lord and he's protecting us and he's doing all these things for us, we start to think about, well, you're being protected. And when we let the Lord, our desires to be towards him, he'll do everything else that we, you know, we think we need. And when we're actually following him and love him above everything else, we get the things that we desire, because then our desires are the same desires that he has. As you go through scripture, you see God tells you, if you keep my commandments, I'll do this, I'll protect this, I'll give you this, I'll do all of these things. But the temptation will always be, and Satan doesn't change his tactics at all, is that if something happens, we're very quick to say, God doesn't love me anymore. If things get rough, we think about, God doesn't love me anymore. But with Job continued to love God. And he spoke some things that he wasn't supposed to say there, but in his distress. But when he heard the voice of the Lord, he kept his mouth shut. He repented. The other part of this is amazing too. At the end, after all of these things that happened to Job, when God started to speak to him, before he says, you know, I heard of you, but now I know you. When you go through trials, still hang on and really push in towards the Lord. It's not a time to be thinking about that he doesn't love me anymore. Establish one thing in your mind and keep it there forever. The Lord loves you because he gave his son for you, to die for you. Any other comments, any other suggestions to you, that's not coming from the Lord. So that part is already established. So when you're going through trials, don't start, well, I wonder if God loves me. I mean, you can go and ask him, Lord, have I committed any sins against you? Have I done something against you? And he'll let you know. But normally, if you've always had that relationship with him, as soon as you do it, you know you're wrong. In fact, you probably know it before you do it. Most cases you do. But sometimes we sin in ignorance. He'll bring it to you and says, hey, you know, I didn't want you to do that. So as we try to get close to the Lord, I know that some people will start to work at it. Right? Let's see, how do I get close? How do I become so close to him that I desire to be with him all the time, day and night? I want him to be proud of me. I want him to be a person that he can point to and says, look at, put your name there. This person represents me. And with the understanding that it may be a little rough, you'll start out there of wanting to be in that relationship. Most likely, things are going to come to test that. Because, again, tactics haven't changed. And the temptation will be there to say, well, he's not here anymore. I cry out, I don't hear him anymore. Does he really love me? Is it really true? I want to be there with him. I'll tell you this. After you go through those trials and continue to seek after him and establish in your mind, as Job did, if he destroys me, he still is God. He still loves and cares for me. A lot of times we don't want to go through the part of thinking about those kinds of things, but it's a lot easier when you start to think about, okay, what's the ultimate thing that can happen to me here? For example, if you're out preaching or something like that, and you know that it's a possibility you could go to jail, and you think about it, okay, what could really happen here? I could go to jail. Deal with that. Deal with those kind of questions you have in mind ahead of time. Says, okay, this is what might happen. I might go to jail. Or if you lose your job or whatever, okay, what can happen? Okay, I can end up on the street, all right? Not have food to eat, all of those things. And then think, is that worth separation from God? Am I going to, well, I don't want to go through that, the Lord, because, you know, I might lose my house, I might lose my car, I might lose whatever. And when the scriptures say, you have to love me more than anything else, that's what it means. So if you can't deal with that up front, and you got questions about, I don't know, there's certain things I want to do first, or I don't want to be out on the street, I don't want to be embarrassed, I don't want to be, whatever it is, deal with those things, push in and seek after the Lord. And so when the trials come, they will come. We're promised that. The trials help us to persevere, grow our character, and above all, the relationship becomes closer, just as it did with Job. Job had heard about the Lord. He'd read about him. Whatever way that revelation of God and who he was, he wanted to serve him. And he did serve him with all he knew. But when the trials came, he still continued to serve God. He still continued to praise the Lord in the face of all of that. And the reward after that was that the relationship was even stronger. I know that a lot of people think the reward was that he got all his stuff back and more. But the reward is actually that relationship that was grown out of that trial. And I know a lot of people avoid any kind of trial. They don't want to go through them. But you have to understand, what's on the other side is that strong relationship that I hope everybody desires. That relationship that's, Lord, I want you to be proud of what I'm doing, because I'm just following what you said. You want the same things to be said of you as was said of Yeshua. This is my beloved son, who in whom I am well pleased. That has to be our focus when we of our desires of being with the Lord and carrying out his commands, and not think about, well, I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it because the Lord said so. Somebody read a scripture earlier today. I can't remember which one it was. I'm trying to remember which it was. But we want to just let the Lord be our focus and that desire to be with him. I remember now. It's that, you know, the people who look and start to just do the things, and they look righteous, and then at the end, the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. See, that knowing, that relationship is what he's looking for. Not all of the externals. Now, the externals will come once the relationship is established. Then it's true. And many children that grow up in Christian families, they do the things. And I wish I knew a way to that you could say, get in their hearts, seek after the Lord in that relationship with him. That relationship of wanting to be with him at all times. I don't know how to do that. I can remember I grew up in a Christian family. And my parents told me about this relationship. It made no sense to me. I'm doing, you know, whatever. I'm going to the service. I don't drink. I've never been drunk. You know, all of these kinds of things. I'm trustworthy. They could trust me to go wherever I say I would go, and I'd come back. And it says, you have to know the Lord for yourself. You know, these things that you're doing, yeah, they're nice, they're good. You're a good son. But you need to know the Lord. Establish that relationship with him. It made no sense. I don't know what you're talking about. But our whole focus in life is to seek after that relationship, to establish that relationship. If you don't have it, just ask him for it. He desires to have that relationship. Forget about everything else. And our only thing that we want is the Lord. The only thing that we seek in our hearts. When it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that means everything. That then don't seek after the other things after. That's just saying, hey, this is a starting point. And continue to seek after the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. That's the same as love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. As Solomon said, the whole duty of man is to love God and keep his commandments. The love part. Because if you love him, you will keep his commandments. You'd love to do what he wants you to do. There are so many examples in Scripture about God blessing those who are in relationship with him. Why would we want to have anything else, anything short of a relationship with him? Throughout the Scriptures, all kinds of things. But I, you know, we are all humans and we have this one thing is we want the end result. We want the things, all the blessings, but I don't want to have a relationship with you. And his desire is to actually bless us. His desire is that we love him with all our hearts. And if we don't love him with all our hearts, and we don't trust him, yeah, you can have some things, but what is that? If you don't have, at the end, it's depart from me. I don't know who you are. Amen. Any questions? Comments? Yes, sir. Oh, beforehand? Yeah, right. Yeah. His relationship with the Father. You know, when you have a close relationship, and Yeshua tells us how close that relationship is, that he does what his Father does. He see his Father do it, and he does it. The relationship was there before the creation of the world. His desire was just to please his Father. Now, if we go back and think about his relationship before he came to this world, and then the Father asked him to do that, and he did it. Took on flesh, took on human nature, took on, and he can easily say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's obeying everything that I've asked him to do. He loves me. He cares about what I think he should do. He's not going to go off on somewhere else and do anything. So in that regard, you can say that Yeshua, when God says, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased, it's that relationship between he and the Father. Father could say, he could just say, he's going to do what I ask with confidence. And see, the relationship that Job had, God knew his heart. He knew that when Satan came and made those accusations, or, well, he's only serving you because you protect him, you keep, he's rich. Yeah, who else? I mean, who wouldn't serve the Lord? Yes, sir. Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, one of the things I'll say here is that the trials are for our benefit. You know, many times we think of the trials as God testing us, but a lot of times we think we have a relationship, a close relationship with the Lord, and if he wants to move it closer, he brings in a few trials. And He knows where you are. It's for you to know where you are. He knows how much you trust him. So when you get in a situation of having to trust and you don't know what the end result and you trusting the Lord, he knows where your heart is. And if you sort of fall under the pressure of trials, well, that's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? It lets you know where you are. He does these things to draw us closer to him, not away. And when you go through a trial and you forget that he's there, that he's still with you, and that he, and you start to think, well, does he really care about me anymore? Now you need to go back and say, something's wrong, Lord. Repent. I am not really where I thought I was. I am not really in the relationship as deeply as I thought I was. Instead of going, giving up and, you know, curse God and die or whatever else. All right? So all of these things are done for our benefit, is to help us grow, to help us get closer. And the closer you get, the more you grow, the more patience you have, the more insight you have, and it all comes from him. You can't go out and boast about, well, I never smoked. I never. No. You get to the point you realize, Lord, that was you who kept me from all of these things, even when I wasn't actually serving you, when I really hadn't established a good relationship with you. I can look back now and many things that I've never even attempted or tried, but I see it's the Lord who protected me from them. And there were some areas that he let me fall to show me that you can't do this on your own. You have to trust in me and allow me to work through you to be righteous. Because when I grew up, I thought I could do this on my own because, hey, you know, these are the rules. I can follow those. And then he allowed me to break them. So I could go back and say, Lord, forgive me. And the mistake that I guess most of us make, Lord, I'm not going to do it again. And you get up and try to do it yourself again. Until he opens your eyes to the fact that you can't be righteous on your own. You have to trust me. You have to believe that what I said, that I'm going to live inside and I'm going to cause you to walk in righteousness. And the only way that you're ever going to walk in righteousness is that the Lord does it through you. And you're willing to yield to him. And anytime you try, I guarantee you will fail. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Right. It's primarily what the young, rich young ruler didn't understand is I've done all these things. And there's one thing you lack is really giving it all, everything that you have, you and everything else, to me. And that's all he could see. Oh, I'm going to lose my wealth. No, not necessarily. But the relationship should have been more important than his wealth. That's one thing we have to all think about, that the relationship with the Lord is more important than our wives, our children, everything. Everything. Yes, sir. Amen. All right. Let's see. Let me get the Lord's table.